In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The text assigned for our consideration this morning is a portion of Scripture read from the second half of Paul's second chapter to his letter to the Ephesians. On the basis of this text, I want to ask you the question, do you remember? It is God's intention in speaking to human beings not only that we hear his word, but that we also believe the word that we hear. And furthermore, it is also his intention that we remember the word that we also believe. It is exactly this note of exercising the memory in regard to the revealed word and the work of God which introduces us to our text for the morning. In the opening words of the text which have just been read, the 11th verse of the second chapter of Ephesians, we have there, as it would be, the midpoint of this second chapter. The words that I want to bring to your attention especially are the first two words of chapter 11, verse 11. Wherefore, remember. The wherefore points us back to the first 10 verses of the chapter. Why remember? Why should I remember? The entire little phrase, wherefore remember, is explained in the last part of the chapter. What is it specifically that I am being called to remember? Chapter 2 of Paul's letter to the Ephesians is indeed a chapter worthy to be remembered. We note, first of all, to whom this imperative, wherefore remember, is specifically addressed. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles, specifically they are the Gentiles or the nations, the same people that Jesus has singled out for us when he gave us the Great Commission, to disciple all Gentiles or all nations. What else do we know about these Ephesian Gentiles to whom Paul calls out, wherefore remember? Well, first of all, they are the men and the women in Ephesus who were stone cold dead in their sins. They were also those who walked according to the thought patterns and the ways of this present evil world. These Ephesian Gentiles are the men and the women whose spirits breathe a disobedience that reached up to the very throne of heaven. These are the men and women of Ephesus whose flesh begot and brought forth every conceivable lust on earth. These are the men and women whose minds were occupied only with themselves, with their own desires, their own wants, with what they considered their own lives. In short, these are those who by birth and nature are the children and the objects of God's holy wrath. To people like this, Paul calls out, wherefore, remember. But this is only a partial picture of this particular people. This was their lifestyle and this was their description until something radical happened in their lives. Things changed totally in their lives, and it was this change that is the real motive behind Paul's call to these Ephesians to remember. God, by his grace, brought them to life through the Christ of the gospel. God, by his grace, raised them up from the power of death and sin and from doing service to Satan. God, by his grace, dislodged them from their earthly attachments so that they might sit together with Christ in the heavenly company of the redeemed. Do you find that this description of the Ephesian Gentiles fits you also? Does it also speak to your situation? Does Ephesians 2 describe a group of people with which you can identify and to which you also belong? If so, then Paul is calling out to you also. Remember, look at yourself. Remember who you were. Remember who you are. But also look at your God and remember what he did for you. According to the text which was read from the lectern this morning, you need basically just remember three things about the second part of Ephesians chapter 2. First, you ought to think back and recall the vast gap which God had to span in order to reach you and to bring you to Himself. Think back for a moment on how you came into this world. At that time, you were without Christ. At that time, you were aliens from the commonwealth of God's people. At that time, you were strangers from God's covenant of promises, His gospel to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. At that time, you had no hope. And then that most horrible of all phrases, you were without God in the world. But God Himself spanned the gap which separated you from Him. And He did it by the blood of Jesus Christ, which alone has power to bridge that awesome gap and to bring you from way out there and to bring you here near to God. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And the question that Paul simply asked us is this: do you remember? Do you remember that? Secondly, think back and recall that awesome, impenetrable wall which God has demolished for you so that you could be with Him. You were once on the other side of the wall, outside in the cold, lost, blind, in sin. Left to yourself, you had no hope of scaling that wall or penetrating that wall. It was a heaven-high wall which separated you from God and from His church. The wall was God's law, consisting of block upon block of commandments, given in the form of decrees, set in place to condemn you to everlasting separation from your God. The wall separated you from life and joy and peace and rest. It separated you from God and His people. Then just as by the blood of Jesus Christ, He spanned the gap to reach you, so in the flesh of Jesus Christ, He destroyed the wall that was set to destroy you. For Jesus is our peace, who hath broken down that middle wall of partition and abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law given in commandment. Because of what He did to that wall, you are now inside the kingdom of God, and you have taken up permanent residency in the house of your heavenly Father. And the question that Paul asks us is, do you remember about the wall? Do you remember how God abolished it for you? Do you remember how He remembered you? And finally, think one more time. Only this time, let not your thoughts go back in time, but think of yourselves as you are right now, here today. Now you're one of God's chosen. You have been elect by His grace. You are set firmly on a solid rock. You see, He removed the old wall, and right where that old wall stood, He sank a new foundation in its place. And this foundation is fabricated not of the sand of human wisdom, or of the grit of human philosophy. This foundation consists of solid granite of divine revelation, mediated to you by God through His holy apostles and prophets. This is the foundation built around, coordinated by, and as solid and as pure as Jesus Christ Himself, who is its chief cornerstone, and upon whom a grand new edifice is now arising. Look at yourself. You're no longer programmed to reflect the ways of this world. You are now incorporated into God's building project. You're now in God's building program, like the bricks in the wall of this chapel. You've been set into God's church by the mortar of His grace, so that you might know the joy of life as granted to you by His Spirit through His Son. And then Paul says, can you remember that? Do you remember that also? Do you remember the new foundation which is now set where the old wall once stood? Many people hear God's word. Saving message has gone out to all the world, and by God's grace continues to go out to all the world. Many people receive that word with joy when they know that their sins are forgiven and gone. But the sad fact of the matter is, not everyone who hears and everyone who believes remembers. A case in point is the very church to whom this great epistle was first written. Within a generation, those who read this second chapter of Ephesians also heard these grave words, but I have this against you. You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you, and I'll remove your lampstand out of its place. There'll be holes in the wall. You'll be gone unless you repent. Ah, there we have it. Repentance is the stuff of which Christian remembrance is made. Many, like Demas, must spend eternity with this awful epitaph over their head. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone. How many have heard and believe and have forgotten and have deserted and are now gone? But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, things that belong to your salvation. And we have this confidence that God, who began a good work in you, will perform it and will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. And until that day, we pray, God grant us the privilege to continue to hear the word of God's grace. And then God grant us the grace to continue to believe His word of salvation. And finally, God grant us the repentant hearts and the humble spirits which we need to ever quicken our memories and cause us to remember our great God and the great work of grace He did on our behalf through Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask it. Amen.